This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Last year was one of the worst for honeybees in America. Commercial beekeepers reported losing up to 50% of their hives. That means they have fewer bees to rent out to farms across the country for pollinating the nation's fruits and vegetables. So great is the concern that Bayer Crop Science broke ground last month on a 6,000-square-foot bee care center in Research Triangle Park. And yet, there are those who would say that big agrochemical manufacturers like Bayer are part of the problem, producing pesticides that could be contributing to the poor health of bees. Well, for more on what's happening, we're joined by the manager of that new bee care center, Bayer entomologist Dick Rogers. And on the line from NC State University Honeybee Field Lab is Dave Tarpey, associate professor of entomology. Also with us is Jeffrey Lee, who is the owner of Lee's Bees in Mebane, and it provides honeybees to farms across the country. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Great. Thank you. For
having me. Great to be here.
David Tarpey, how important are honeybees? Tell us what they do.
Well, honeybees are really indispensable to our food supply. It's estimated that they account for about 35% of our foods and really most of the fun stuff. A lot of the staple crops, corn, wheat, those are wind pollinated. But honeybees provide this pollination service for most of the fruits, vegetables, and nuts that really define the healthy Western American diet. And so they're really, really important.
Yeah, I don't know how many people, when we think of honeybees, of course you think of honey. So you think, well, these bees are producing honey. But in fact, they're how we pollinate so much of our crops. And this is part of the reason why we're so concerned. And let's tell us how serious a problem it is. The fact is there's not a feral honeybee left in the country. Is that right? I mean, all bees these days are domesticated bees. David?
Well, by and large, yeah, I used to say that if you saw honeybees in your backyard garden or on your flower pot, you would want to thank a neighboring beekeeper who had their hives within a mile or two of your house, because the honeybees really haven't been living in nature, living out in the forests, living in trees on their own because of introduced exotic pests. I think there's evidence to suggest that there are bees out there living in nature, but by and large, most of the bees that we have are indeed domesticated, as you say.
And how long has that been true?
That the feral honeybees have been wiped out or significantly diminished? Well, even though they're our state insect, honeybees are actually not native to North America. They were brought in by the early European settlers. And so they quickly feralized and kind of, you know, took up residence in North America since the 1600s or so. But it wasn't until about the early to mid-1980s that these two exotic parasitic mites really wiped them out, or really has plagued honeybees, both feral and domesticated, ever since then. And so it's been about two or three decades, really, that they've been experiencing these problems.
So there's been a kind of crisis for that long, and more recently headlines about colony collapse. So Jeff Lee, as a beekeeper, let me ask you about your business, because the fact is you aren't so much producing honey as renting out your bees, right?
Well, honey is about 10% of my business. 90% of the income is rental pollination services.
So tell us how that works. Who rents your bees? How far do they go, and how do you get them there?
Well, it starts very early in the year, about the 1st of February. I will send out one or two semi-loads of bees to California to pollinate the almonds. And they will stay there in the month of March, early March, and then they will return here, and I will take them to White Lake or in Bladen County, where there's a lot of high bush blueberry crops, and then they will pollinate the blueberries in North Carolina. And then about the 1st of May, I will take a couple semi-loads up to Cherryfield Foods, which is east of Bangor, and they have low bush blueberries, and they just grow wild, and they cultivate them, and they are the largest producers of blueberries in the world. And
but so think about the economics of this. The only way we can get, or the least expensive way that we can pollinate these crops, is for you to put them on a truck and send them all the way across the country, both ends.
The demand for blueberries has escalated quite rapidly compared to the 1600s. And so there's a lot more demand for them. Yeah. And they will use 10 beehives per acre to get adequate fruit set in northern Maine. And what they'll they have to have these because they have poor weather. So you can only get 1 or 2 hours of flight or pollination time per day. And
so, well, let me ask you about your losses over the past couple of years. And maybe you can tell us how big your operation is and then give us an idea what you've lost.
Well, at peak size, which is usually in about this time of the year, it's around 1,500 colonies. And this last year, I lost about 600 colonies, basically late summer into the fall. And particularly the largest loss was a load of bees that I had sent to northern Minnesota. And when they got back here on a truckload of 424 colonies, only 20 of them were alive.
And do you know what killed them?
It's hard to do an autopsy on an empty hive. But most likely I would have attributed it to Nosema serrani. And
which is
it's a microsporidium that infects the gut of the bees. Mm. And that in combination with some viruses that the bees may have had is a deadly combination.
Dick Rogers, tell us about Bayer Crop Science. Why is it building this new bee care center? What will it do?
Well, Bayer has been involved in bee health for over 25 years. They've produced products for helping beekeepers control varroa mites, for instance. And apiculture, which is the technical word for beekeeping, is agriculture as well. So, and Bayer is an agricultural company, so we're concerned about bees as much as any crop. Bayer also uses honeybees for pollination of their seed crops. For example, canola in Canada, we're the largest renters of bees for pollinating our own crops. So we do have a vested interest.
What are some of the causes? Well, I'm going to ask actually David Tarpey at NC State to talk about some of the causes, because more recently this problem has gotten more acute. You talked about it going back decades with mites infecting bee colonies, but now something else is happening and we're not sure about it. So give us the trajectory of this crisis in the world of bees.
Well, I assume you're referring to colony collapse disorder,
right,
in the strict sense. And I think that, you know, it's that issue has really been in the headlines since 2006, 2007. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the exact starting point. It's just when it was making a lot of headlines, right? So we don't really know entirely how long, you know, this issue has been dealing with. We know that beekeepers like Jeff and the folks that are really putting the food on our table, they've been dealing with lots of problems, and this just seems to be a kind of a new manifestation of many of the other things that are going along with bee ill health, right? And so the question and the problem is, this is kind of new symptoms. There are new problems that do not fit the old reasons or the known reasons why honeybees have been dying off. So not knowing the cause or causes of colony collapse disorder is really what's concerning, because we don't know any way to mitigate it.
Well, let me ask you that, because we use this term, but it seems to me that what colony collapse disorder is anything that kills bees that we can't explain.
No, that actually there are instances where bees are dying off and we don't really know why. But colony collapse disorder is actually a very kind of specific set of symptoms where the decline of the colony seems to be very rapid, because there's a very, very low worker population, if not the entire hive being empty, but a lot of brood, and that is the young that the bees raise. And somebody had to have raised, you know, those young, and so we know that the decline happened very precipitously. Also, another factor is that there's still lots of honey and pollen within the hives, so that the bees didn't starve to death, for example. So there are actually some symptoms that are consistent with colony collapse disorder sensu stricto versus other reasons why bees die, and we may not know the cause.
But we still don't know the cause. So the symptoms are similar, but we still don't know the cause.
Correct.
Dick, is this something is colony collapse disorder something that Bayer is going to be looking into at the new center?
Yeah, I've been investigating bee health since early 2000, and I've never run into situations where the symptoms that make up that disorder have been that common. The primary causes, if you're monitoring hives, you will come across very explainable things like varroa mites and viruses and noisema and management issues and starvation issues. Those are all usually the factors involved in colony losses. The symptoms that Dave just described, Dr. Utarpi just described, are actually kind of rare in the big picture. But if we can work, we'd like to focus on controlling varroa mite, which would have benefits in controlling viruses. And if there's other symptoms or particular factors that we can investigate, we would like to work on those as well.
Well, David, quickly, how common is colony collapse disorder?
Well, as Dick just said, it's actually a very minor issue that the vast majority of the bee losses that are experiencing can be chalked up to one of the kind of more common factors and diseases that that have been plaguing, you know, bee colonies for a while.
So with Jeff, let me ask you what it takes now to keep a bee colony alive in terms of medicating them and care and feeding and all that. I mean, we like to think that the bees more or less take care of themselves, but...
Well, that's sort of the Winnie the Pooh Disney world story. But no, basically the one word answer is hypervigilance. You just cannot let the varroa mites reach any level in the hives. And to do that, you need to treat, at least I treat three times a year for these varroa mites, or to minimize them, because they are vectors for viruses. And the other thing I do is you have to maintain the bee's immune system as well as you can. And I supplement the bee's diet with protein and vitamins and minerals in their feed. And so I will never let the beehive go without having protein or a vitamin and mineral supplement on them.
Well, David, is all this care and feeding a result of domestication? Have they become a kind of different species, more vulnerable, more immune, more needing, I guess, human cultivation?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. All I can say is that, you know, the bees in these particular agroecosystems and everything are not in their natural systems. They're often, you know, in monocultures, many of which are not very nutritious. They do not provide diversity or nutritious pollen and nectar in all cases. And so having to supplement, as Jeff was just describing, is very necessary in order to keep bees healthy and productive.
So that's interesting. I mean, that's a kind of function then of industrial agriculture, the fact that we're growing single crops in large areas, and that's where these bees are going out to.
That and habitat loss, I would also argue, you know, that there's, you know, urbanization is another potential factor that could be driving things like that. So.
Now, one of the things, the other issues that people are talking about anyway, and I'll point to a Harvard study recently that found a very new class of pesticides called neonicotinoids are causing bee deaths. That, according to this Harvard study, David, that seemed to make it a settled issue for a lot of people, the introduction of this new pesticide, the rapid collapse of colonies. There's a correlation there that was found irresistible in this Harvard study.
Well, that Harvard study, I would argue, does not provide really the best evidence about that, in large part because they fed the treatment colonies non-realistic doses of those pesticides. And not only that, there are control colonies that they didn't feed any of the pesticides. They died just they all died off as well. So it was kind of hard to make very strong inferences, I think, from that one particular study. But I think at issue is that pesticides have always ran counter to beneficial arthropods like honeybees. You know, insecticides in particular are very, very good at killing off pest insects, but what's good at killing off, you know, insects that will feed on our crops are also pretty good at killing off honeybees and other beneficial insects. So this is something that, you know, beekeepers have been encountering for quite a long time. And as you point out, the neonicotinoids, as the new chemistries, as Dick should be able to describe, are newer on the scene, but are definitely, you know, still in the same realm that they can be harmful to bees if they're misapplied or not applied in the correct way.
Well, let me ask you about that, Dick. Bayer manufactures neonicotinoids, among other pesticides. Is Bayer open to the idea that pesticides may be part of this problem?
Well, like David Tarpey said, the insecticides are designed to kill insects, and so when you're developing a crop protection product to kill insects, you have to test it so you know how to use it safely and not hurt the non-target species such as bees. And the neonicotinoids have been around since the mid-1990s, actually, and they've been heavily studied, and systems for the right rate or dose and use patterns have been developed. So unless they're applied in an inappropriate way or at the wrong application rate, then they can be used relatively safely.
There's also a question of whether the combination of various pesticides, herbicides, loss of environment, loss of habitat, and monoculture, that all these things, but pesticides among them, sort of aggregate, accumulate, and may be creating some of this mystery.
Oh, absolutely. The whole bee health issue is multifactorial, for sure. And there's always something that's the last straw. So sometimes it might be one thing, sometimes it might be another. So we have that to contend with, and it makes the whole problem very complex and difficult.
Jeff, do you have guesses about what's going on?
There's many variables, as Dick mentioned, in the process, and it's like a titration. At some point, you reach the point where the bees cannot recover. And one of the big problems that I see are the use of fungicides on all of these crops, because historically, fungicides, quote, do not kill bees, but they hurt the developing larva, and so the bees cannot fully develop properly into adult bees. And frequently, these fungicides will interact with other pesticides that are brought into the hive or actually introduced by beekeepers into the hive. And they will have a synergistic effect, and it really kills the bees through that mechanism.
David Tarpey, what's your sense? Talk about the fungicides, and then again, this kind of these combination cumulative effects.
Exactly right, and not just the cumulative or synergistic effects, but these indirect effects. Jeff just brought up a good example of fungicides, which are really good at killing fungi, but are by and large, you know, not as problematic for insects. However, bees are social. Honeybees are social, and you know, they collect pollen for their protein source to feed to their brood. Well, to turn that pollen into consumable food for the larvae, there are actually beneficial fungi inside the colony that help break that down so that the nutrients can be better absorbed by the bees. So by bringing fungicides back into the colony, it can kill off those beneficial microbes, and therefore the food that they're feeding their young is not as nutritious. So you can see these cascading effects that can be problematic. It is very, very hard to trace out.
Kind of what happens when we take antibiotics. It's killing the bug, but it's also wreaking havoc on our digestive system for the same reason. Wish I had more time, but I want to thank all of you for being on the program. David Tarpey, Associate Professor of Entomology and Extension Apiculturist at NC State. Jeff Lee, owner of Lee's Bees in Mebane. Dick Rogers, an entomologist with Bayer Crop Science and manager of its Bee Care Center under construction at RTP. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up next, it's not just bees that are dying, bats too. Stay tuned.